www.RepublicBroadcasting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth, the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
Welcome to the Alternative Media, Hour 2, here on Republic Broadcasting, on this Saturday, June 12th, 2021. I'm your guest host, Richard Carey, filling in for Farron Schoaf while he is on his hiatus. And today I'm joined by Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Paul Edward Stevenson. And well, just before the end of the first hour, Paul, you were touching on the economic deception, which has a lot of parallels to the COVID deception.
Yeah, so, I mean, if lots of people start dying, they'll blame, you know, obviously people aren't going to be dying of, they're not going to reveal, oh, these people are dying of the vaccine. People will be dying from cancers or something or whatever, or tumors, or who knows what they're going to die of. And they'll just muddy the waters. And it's like you said, it'll probably go on for years where we'll be bringing out the evidence and it'll all just be sort of suppressed, and they'll just have a rise in tumors or a rise in cancers or a rise in heart disease or something like that. And or else they'll say, as you say, it's a variant or whatever. And I think that's the more likely thing to happen. And because you can see that they're doing this with inflation. I mean, there's a serious inflation problem already, you know, and they're just denying it. Or if they do come out and talk about it, they say it's transitory. Well, it's not transitory because they can't put that genie back in the bottle now. I mean, the only thing, the more they print, the more they're going to have to print. And then they're going to be adding, what, $6 trillion to this, of which, you know, again, a tiny amount of it is actually for infrastructure. It's just a bunch of far left, globalist, leftist policies. And so, and they're trying to, you know, they'll try and blame everything and anything and to suppress the inflation narrative. And that's what they're doing, I expect. Yeah.
Oh, well, there'll be an effect on our pocketbook, you know, the price of everything, including these energy changes for this Paris Climate Accord and everything Biden's trying to push us toward with this whole global warming, false carbon sort of a psyop as well. But I mean, the last thing that will actually be allowed to change is the average minimum wage. And of course, there are always arguments against that, pushing more jobs overseas and more automation, that it just exacerbates, you know, the 0.01%, 001, whatever you want to say, you know, a wealthiest and wealth disparities. But yeah, there will be the last thing, you know, that's always the most grudging thing to you know, change with everything else. But that will achieve, if this continues, what we always hear about, that they want to bring the living standards of much of the of the developed nations, you know, down to third world conditions. Or possibly lift up the third world slightly and have us meet somewhere in the middle, but considerably lower standards of living in the United States and even Europe. But the United States is always the model target when you hear about all of this.
Yeah, well, it'll get a lot lower when they destroy the currencies or even if they diminish significantly, because eventually the Chinese are going to dump the dollar. And then what? Because the Western countries aren't producing enough. And also on the you know, the increase in the minimum wage, I mean, obviously they wanted to get that through. And what they've done is they have given out so much, you know, in the way of stimulus checks, that they've forced the minimum wage up anyway. because people are not prepared to work for unless they're getting a higher wage. So it's worth their while, because at the minute, these stimulus checks are allowing people to sit at home and do nothing and still have an income and just consume. So really, that is, you know, running the back door, a way of increasing the minimum wage, because if you're a company, if you're a business and you want to employ someone, you're going to have to put your prices up of the labor to pay them to come off these welfare checks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to clarify, it's not exactly the stimulus checks. It's the stimulus linked unemployment checks. Supercharged unemployment checks.
That's right. So, yeah.
Yeah, people are making more on unemployment than they are. And plus, in the United States, in calendar year 2021, if you receive unemployment for even a single week, your Obamacare is going to be free for the whole year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, that's how they can essentially bribe people.
Yeah. While I have the floor, just by the way, I know I'm kind of out of step with the majority of people in our RBN family. I actually think there is human caused global climate change. But having said that, even just for the sake of argument, if you're going to agree that there is, it doesn't justify the Paris Climate Accord. It doesn't justify the Green New Deal. It doesn't justify climate, you know, economic lockdowns for the climate. And also, it doesn't necessarily, you know, when we're on the brink, when we're facing really the destruction of our people, is, you know, the climate 100 years or 200 years from now, is that going to be our top priority? Right? I mean, if you've got a hole in the side of a ship and you think it's sinking, but somebody's smashing you in the head with a brick, what are you going to deal with first? You know what I mean? So exactly. I just thought I'd put that out there for the sake of it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, you know, I like environmentally friendly things. You know, I'm like you. I just think the whole thing's, you know, it's so heavily politicized. But, you know, I work in gardening and, you know, I prefer to use battery tools, because they're quieter. They don't need much maintenance. They don't give out any fumes. They don't need, you know, and they're just quieter for who you're working for, and they're quieter for who you for the neighbors. So, I mean, I quite like the idea of, you know, a cleaner air and less pollution and stuff like that. But it's that's a different thing from the this whole movement that's going on, this green thing, you know.
Well, you know, if greed weren't so much a part of it in the transition. I mean, like, if today, very inexpensively, if you own an electric car, you could go to what is now a gas station, and there would be a bunch of recharged batteries on the shelf, or have an attendant help you with whatever cart to bring out, and just swap the battery, and it's just understood. No battery is owned, you know, just like refilling a 5-gallon water jug or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just really quickly and easily swap it out, and... you know, you eliminate one of the biggest issues there. I mean, that battery, if that is not in working condition, you know, the car loses its value by, like, I think half almost or something, or close to it. I mean, it's a ridiculous price for a lot of the smaller vehicles, at least, as far as compared to even the whole vehicle. They're far too expensive as far as the, I think, the components and just having the same quick refill potential. You know, there's so much greed in the transition, just like with anything. I think that's one of the biggest hindrances. Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Mike, yeah. Did you want to speak?
Yeah. I wanted to go back to the inflation thing for a second, because it really connects to the minimum wage issue and the environmental issue as well. You know, a lot of people don't realize that inflation is really a hidden tax, is what it is. And a lot of people don't understand that. And it's a way of raising taxes via the central bank without having to pass a tax increase. And it's a very slick way of a tax increase, is what it is. Inflation is a hidden tax. And every time you'll actually notice that inflation always starts creeping after there's massive spending from the federal government. And they always, we saw this toward the tail end of Jimmy Carter's term, and we saw this during the tail end of the first Bush's term in 92. Inflation starts creeping back in, and that's usually to cover and to raise revenue so the government can collect more revenue in a hidden form to pay for all their new projects. And in this case, we had stimulus, we had unemployment expansion, and all that. So I don't think a lot of people really understand that inflation basically is a hidden tax, which is very important to understand. The other thing I wanted to say was on the environmental issue. I think, our movement, the pro-white movement, really needs to focus more on true environmentalism. I think it's a very important issue. I think it's a winning issue. And I think it's something that we need to bring back in our circles. True environmentalism, clean air, clean water, that sort of thing, taking care of lands. Very important issue, and I think it's a very popular issue. And I think this is where the GOP has really let down white people. If you want to know my opinion, is that they always say no to any form of real environmental reforms. They always say no to any type of increasing the wage. Look, I'm more, I'm a socialist here, really, a national socialist. I believe that, the wages are stagnant. And they have not been adjusted to inflation, and I think they're very, very low, and they need to be raised. That's my opinion on that. It will hurt some small business in the short run, but I think in the long run it'll benefit more people simply because the majority of our workers are tied into big box stores, major corporations. Small business is really not as viable as it used to be even a few years ago. So I think that this is an issue where, a more populist stance would really benefit our cause and our movement. I think it's a winning issue. I think they can raise the wage. I think it needs to be raised, adjusted to inflation. And environmentalism as well is a very important issue. And I think those are things that we need to focus on as a movement. I think we'll be even more successful if we do that.
I agree with you, Patrick, I'm not denying that humans haven't affected, the climate, the planet. But, from studies of increased CO2 with the current levels, it just shows that we would have more vegetation around the planet, more plants, which would in turn create more oxygen, that exchange of gases that symbiotic plant-animal relationship would be enhanced. Ultimately, it could reduce drought and famine conditions.
Well, it would be a change.
Right? Right, yes.
That would change.
Yes. Okay, well, any other thoughts, gentlemen? I was just overall hinting at the globalization that we see in so many sectors with this climate factor, the medical factor, and the education system. Oh, do we have another? Yes, we do have another caller. Art in Georgia, you're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. Talking about the minimum wage, I actually had a conversation, I think it was 2 days ago. I had to go into town, take care of some business, and put some parcels in the mail, get them shipped out using 12 statutes at large with regards to postal fees. But I had to go over to the hardware store, and I got talking to a fella in there, and he was complaining about the minimum wage and how it just doesn't seem to keep up with inflation and blah, 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 which is what you're talking about right now. And I told him, I said, well, do you realize that the minimum wage is simply a form of government slavery? He kind of looked at me like I was stupid. And I said, think about this. The government controls what your minimum wage is, what you can get paid. And as long as the employer knows that all he has to do is pay you this little minuscule amount, he's going to make a little bit more money on his products, his services, or whatever it is that the owner of the business provides. I said, let's go back to before the minimum wage. Do you know how it worked? And, well, no, of course not. He's a young 21-year-old punk. He doesn't know squat. So I explained to him, there was a time in this country, in fact, any free, quote-unquote, free society, where the employers competed for employees. The guy looked at me like I was an idiot. I said, yeah, think of it like this. Before the minimum wage came out, you had Bob and Joe both want a job. Bob and Joe both are really good working with cattle. Bob and Joe go to the same rancher. The rancher only needs to hire one person. Bob has 8 years' experience, comes with great references. Joe, only about a year experience, and, well, he really didn't do so good on his last job. So, of course, who gets the job with this employer? Now, unfortunately, Joe has to go down the road to the next rancher who isn't paying quite as much as the rancher that hired Bob. This was a time when employees have always had to compete with each other for the better job. But there was a time where employers had to compete. In this scenario I'm laying out, employers had to compete for the better employee. If you wanted to make more money, you had to be a better worker. That way you could get a better job working for the employer that paid more money. And this employer was able to charge a little bit more for his product. Why? Because it was a better quality product. The guy down the road who wasn't paying quite as much, who got the second-rate worker. I said, do you see how that works? And the guy looked at me and said, well, my college professor never explained it to me like that. Of course not.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the market should sort, you know, should sort itself out. I mean, I don't think the government should be mandating minimum wages and anything. It's what you want from my view is to get the government out of the way and let the market decide that based on just what you explained, and that is the sort of, you know, the more free market way of looking at it. Because the problem is, if you put the minimum wage up to go with inflation, you know it. All you're doing is reacting to inflation. So, because it's not like if you go from like $14 an hour to $21 an hour, okay, your wages have gone up, but all you're doing, so you're still only buying else. You're buying the same amount of stuff because everything else has gone up. It's just like the tide of the sea level, everything just rises. So it's kind of like, you know, if you could buy the same amount of goods for $8. As you would have to for $21 in an inflationary environment, what difference does it make? You know, to me, inflation's a bad thing. And you know, the other thing is as well, if you're trying to get skills, and a company you can't hire you for any more than the minimum wage, well, what happens if you want to come in and work for $6? That should be between you and the employer. You might be a kid who's trying to get some skills. And he can't get the skills because the company says, listen, you've got no experience. I don't even know if you're going to turn up on time. I'm not comfortable with paying you $18 an hour or whatever it is. I'd be happy paying you $10 an hour if you turned up on time and you know, you keep your mouth shut and listen and learn some skills, then we'll maybe raise you up to $14 because you're worth that. And I know this because I know this how it works. And if I'm competing against guys, because I know a lot of guys in the garden industry and they're useless and they're lazy. And if I'm working harder than those guys, And I can only get the same money. Well, that's not even fair, you know, because the guy hiring me.
It gives you no incentive to want to. It gives you. This is what I try to get through to people, and this was my experience as well when I first got started in the restaurant business. I just got sick of that and went to the construction business, and the construction business actually works that way. Because you have entry-level jobs for people that don't know anything. And that's how I started out. And I worked my way up through to becoming a full-fledged carpenter where I could walk onto any site that the boss had and I could do the job. It wasn't a problem. And this is what I tell people. When you have a government that controls the minimum wage, they want to go from, I think it's 7-something right now, to 15. What they're talking about is doubling the minimum wage, essentially. Who do you think is going to pay for that? The employer is simply going to increase the cost of his product or the cost of his service in order to cover having to pay you more. And this is the exact same thing that they do when they get hit with a new tax. They just pass it on to the customer.
Or they put him out of business because he can't afford to do it because he's losing the customers because it's too expensive, and he has to shut down his business, and then there's another business gone, you know?
We can hold you over. Here, hold on. Hold that thought, gentlemen. We'll hold you over past the break, Art. Stick around, folks.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we're back, folks, on the alternative media here on RBN. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-host Dr. Patrick Slattery. And we have Mike Sledge and Paul Edward Stevenson. We're on the air with Art in Georgia. Art was just making a point related to the minimum wage factors, conditions. You just mentioned new taxes can be created in a lot of situations. Paul, you were trying to respond to that.
Well, you know, I was in agreement with them. I just think the less government you have involved with anything, I mean, look what they do with the housing market over here. They create a bubble in the housing market, right? So houses are out of reach for a whole generation. So what's their solution for this? Oh, well, you know, we'll reduce the actual sort of deposit, that you need to put down in the house. And then you can get a mortgage for, 60 years or something. And in other words, oh, that's supposed to be a great solution, and that I'll be in debt for the rest of my life paying off to own a house. Whereas your grandparents' generation and even your parents' generation, they could buy a house and they could have it paid off in like 10 years. So everything they touch, they just ruin everything. You know, we've got housing. I mean, this country, honestly, housing ministers, education ministers, you name it, we've got a minister for it, a business ministers. And most of these clowns have never lived in the real world, and they just make a mess of everything. And I know from, like, even just working in gardening, if I didn't get the skills that I wanted to by keeping my wages down a little bit at the start and then doing a good job for people, then I'd never be able to get ahead. I'd never be able to reach that day where it's just like, you know what, I've been doing this now. And I came to gardening late, so I'm still in that process. But, you know, I'm 2 years down the line now, and the prices are going to go up. People have been referring me because, you know, it's the word gets out if you're doing a good job. And that's not possible, really, if you've got this imposed minimum wage and everybody just gets paid the same regardless of who they work. And it's not good for the people who are hiring either, you know. But, you know, that's my worldview. I appreciate not everyone shares that, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, can I come in real quick here?
Yes, Mike.
I would love to turn back time and have a majority white society where we could have more of a laissez-faire libertarian style economic system. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think we can have a situation where the free market here in the States, that is, can a situation where the free market can just sort it out unless we get rid of the immigration problem and low-wage workers being flooded into Western civilization. The average worker can't compete with the immigration flood of low-wage third world populations coming into our countries, and we're supposed to compete with that. So until the immigration situation gets under control where we have a level playing field, I don't think we can have straight, you know, laissez-faire, more libertarian economics right now. I think it's a big mistake for the right to have an argument of, well, we can't do anything. We hate state power. We hate statism. We can't deliver anything. We are anti-government. And elect us and we'll get into government and we won't do anything. We won't use any state power to accomplish anything for white people. I think it's a big mistake right now. And I think that's a big snare that's been laid for us. I think if you're going to go back to laissez-faire, libertarian, more conservative economics, then there has to be a level playing field where there's not the flood of low-wage workers coming in, number one, because the average here in the States American worker cannot compete with that. And they're always going to go for cheaper labor over the more qualified because they don't want to spend the money in the wages. So I think, you know, it's a different time right now in a lot of ways. And I think that the new right must understand that if you're going to run on a platform right now, there has to be a platform where you can deliver. And there's no time to be afraid of state power. We need to use state power to accomplish goals that benefit our people first and foremost. And I don't think we can do that by just saying we're against you know, government, we're against state power. You know, it's time that we use the tools that the left has used against us right now to really gain back our traction for our people. That's my opinion on that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it does complicate the whole thing with immigration. That's true. But if you get into government, obviously, you would put a quick halt to immigration and you would try and reverse that as best you could, you know. But it does complicate things if you're importing. And I don't think that's, you know, it's fair. We have the same thing over here as well, and it really is quite irritating. But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, here's my big thing. I think what needs to happen, and this is where we see a lot of failing with the GOP and the right, state legislatures and governors need to grow a spine and step up and say, you know what? Enough is enough. There's this thing called the 10th Amendment, and we're going to start using it. And then go back and look at the original founding, how things were done, and as independent nation states, start exercising that authority. People will find if the states, the governors, and the state legislatures have enough courage to stand up and say no more of this federal tyranny, I think we could rapidly see a change in this country for the better, but it would take multiple states doing this, multiple governors, multiple state legislatures.
Yes, sir. Here, we can hold you over again.
We have to go all the way.
And we'll be right back. We don't have any other callers if you want to hold again, Art.
No, that's okay, because who knows? Somebody else may call in, and I think I made my point enough, you know.
Okay. So. All right, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
You as well.
Yeah,
we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we're back, folks. The alternative media here on RBN. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf. And I have with me as co-hosts Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Paul Edward Stevenson. And we do have another caller on the line. Pat in Texas. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Richard. This is a very good conservative talk show on Saturday morning. And I kind of agree with that last caller. I remember when, I was just working to get through college, and I went to an interview, and the man, a Jew, he said, what why did you leave your last job? And I said, well, they just didn't follow up with the promises they made. You know, that impressed him. He hired me. And you let him know, I'll leave here too. If you don't, if you go ahead and you go ahead and you pay them what they want, you can't get rid of them. They may say, well, I'm gay, you can't fire me, I'll sue you. Or I'm black, you can't fire me, I'll sue you. And you're stuck. I mean, that's the way it used to be. You just take, he said, everybody says, and you take a job that you can do, but you always take a job where you can learn a little, because you're wasting your time if you're not getting paid much unless you learned something. You know, like digging ditches is not going to get you very much. And I wanted to say that I had something to say to Dr. Slattery earlier when he was talking about global warming. I'm going to refer you to the Bible, Revelation 16:9, and they were burned. They were so hot, they were burning, but they just kept cursing God, and so that's why it's getting hotter. I'm sorry. Okay. That's it.
Okay. So that was okay. It was people cursing God, and it's getting hotter. That sounds like. Yeah. Man caused global warming to me, right?
Well, it may be, but it's not exactly.
There you go.
Cows are, you're not getting any global warming credits over it. The only way you can get a credit would be you just say that one in Proverbs 3:3-5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, and he'll take care of you. He'll even make it rain if you want it to, or stop, whatever, he will. I know. I don't have much money, but I don't worry about a thing. I just worry that I displease him. And so I just thought I'd throw that in, because I've been telling people about for years that that's why getting hot. And it is. The sun is very hot. If that sun comes out, your little plants will die. They'll just start dying, withering up on the edge. Yeah, it's probably going to get so bad we're going to have to cover them up a little bit with screen or something so they won't burn flat up. But it's up to us. But it's a good show. That last caller had a good point. He had a good point, because I've seen it. I've talked to people, and a lot of things. So they'll give you a temporary job, okay? Well, they want to know if you, and you know it's a temporary job. I'm sorry, we don't need you anymore. But you know, on the other hand, they're taking a chance, because if they like you, you say, oh, no, it's just a temporary job. I got to go. So, you know, you got to look out for yourself when you got a business to run. Okay, I'll let y'all go. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you, Pat.
Patrick, did you want to respond to that? While Pat was speaking. Okay, all right. You know, she directed it.
No.
Partly.
That was fine.
Okay. All right, well, we have a Sherry in Kansas next on the line. Hello, you're on the air, Sherry.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, talking about the economy, and this kind of gets into what Patrick was talking about yesterday on his show. And I'm really in favor of a Tobin-type tax on stock market transactions, just because they're pumping and dumping, and they're screwing around with people's retirement and stuff, and with this front-running and everything, and it only has a negative effect on the economy. It doesn't really have a positive effect, except for the big hedge funds, the winners, you know. So that's one thing, because, you know, we don't really have capitalism in this country. We have creditism. I don't know if that's a real word, but, you know, it's my understanding of capitalism is that it's money you have saved, not money you create. And you, they may say that they value, you know, they just keep raising the value of certain assets, but they can plummet too. So, you know, and the people that get the money first are the ones that have the most benefit from it. So we don't really have capitalism. And, you know.
No, I agree with that. Whoever's near the printing press is the ones that'll benefit, you know, and they'll, and it's just the rich get richer because they can buy up all those assets, and those assets are getting inflated, you know. So,
the other thing is, you know, all this stuff about needing electric cars and not having gas cars, you know, Stanley Meyer had, it's my understanding, he had perfected a very good model of, you know, combustion engines running on water. And, of course, they don't want to do that because they can't make any money on that. But we don't need electric cars at all. And I think, you know, there's a question whether electric cars are not only safe, you know, considering the electromagnetic fields, and there's still about people keeping electric batteries on hand for people to charge out. You're talking about a lot of money in inventory. And if anybody's ever run a business, you know, to make money, you have to keep parts in stock so you can do a quick repair. But, you know, your inventory kills you, especially in these states where they tax your inventory at the end of the year. You know, it's just wrong. But, Sherry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You mentioned the Tobin tax, and before we get too far away from that, that was the first thing you mentioned. I just want to circle back to that. That's a very small tax that would be put on financial transactions, you know, these stock market, foreign exchange transactions. And I don't remember what the original aim was, if it was to raise money. I think it might have been to raise money. But here's the thing, even a minuscule tax would actually have a big effect on the markets, because right now, I mean, you if you have an online stock trading account or something, you probably noticed that, you know, a few years ago it might have been $10 per trade, then $5, now it's zero per trade in a lot of places, but. Because of computerization and everything, the transaction costs have gone down to effectively zero. And so what you're having is these computer algorithms that are just executing trades, just countless trades, thousands of trades per second, and it's really distorted the market. Now, would there be, If there were even a minuscule tax on trades, then these algorithms that are trading, you know, thousands of times per second, they would suddenly become costly. And that would probably be a benefit right there. Even if it didn't raise a whole bunch of money, there would be a benefit in slowing down the velocity of these trades.
I'd like to say something to Paul. A few weeks ago on your Monday show, you were lamenting about with all the immigration into Ireland, how the really it's like the IQ was going down. And since you're into a job related to agriculture, I would like to encourage you to look up some of the books by Philip Callahan. He's a PhD. He was stationed over there as a naval communications in World War II. And but he had done something on the round towers of Ireland, which he determined were really at the monasteries. They were built between the 6th and the 9th century, and they were round towers. And he said that they were he thinks they were actually antennas to catch certain meter-long waves of energy, cosmic energy, to improve the agriculture. It's really interesting. And his book was Ancient Mysteries, Modern Visions. And even though his books weren't that expensive when they came out, they're really highly valued now, the used copies. And I think it's because they don't want the information out. But he's a radio man, and he was also a entomologist.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, Sherry. Right. We have a couple other callers, but I appreciate your call. Dean in California, you're on the air.
Morning, Richard and Patrick and other guys. Great show this morning. I wanted to touch on a few things about minimum wage. I remember back when I was working my way through college, too, and I actually started working back before that. And I remember minimum wage was like $3.25 here in California. And I've always felt that minimum wage is just kind of it's a way to keep the rich getting richer in a sense, and poor no way to get in if you have no skills at all. And I remember, and it must have been 35, 40 years ago when I was talking about the minimum wage with somebody, and they said, well, look, if I wanted to come to work for you, you're an employer, and you have to pay me $15 an hour no matter what. I can't even come push a broom for you for what I could maybe negotiate $6 an hour, $7 an hour, whatever it is. He used to say, I think he said 50 cents an hour back then, this guy. But he made a point that if you want to employ everybody, and of course now if we employ everybody, we're employing the third world, but if back in the 70s, you wanted to employ everybody, you wouldn't have a minimum wage because then you could employ everybody for the cheapest rate that you could get them at. Just like that analogy that was used earlier with the farmer. Down the road, you get cheaper goods because you're getting a cheaper quality employee. So that's what I wanted to say on that. And also I wanted to talk about the laws. Since the American public has no access to power anymore, I mean, whatever power is in the structure right now has been guided through our corrupt system to hire the psychopaths like the Pelosi's and the Swalwells and all these other guys, the Chuck Schumers, to make sure that they are the gatekeepers right there. And actually, they were probably gatekeepers back in the state legislatures and the local county governments, where they got seen as the psychopaths that were needed to help complete the plan. This system promotes nothing but psychopathy, and that's who they hire. And they'll pay as much as they can for them. So minimum wage, it doesn't even matter anymore because they don't want everybody employed. They want people to starve. They want people in the lower class. They're trying to bifurcate society right now as it is by printing up trillions and trillions of dollars and giving them to their buddies, which, of course, they go out and buy more stuff that, you know, was in the public realm. Now it's being privatized by them with this money we're basically giving them. And if you take the example that it takes 35,000 years to count to just a trillion, and we printed up 18 trillion this last year. Well, not printed up, you know, just adding zeros on a digit. But that can really destroy a society because, like was pointed out earlier, that's a hidden tax. And as George Washington knew, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And we are being destroyed. I mean, we were destroyed on December 13th or December 24th, 1913 anyway. But that is really the basis of it right there. That is what turned society on its head. At one time, it was a we the people that governed now it's the select few that have been sucked up through these psychopathic systems that have been created with our own money through our taxation, which George Washington knew we shouldn't be taxed. And of course, when Lincoln got into power, he raised those tariffs so much that it just made it impossible for a lot of people even to do business. That's when the statists started getting in, because they knew Lincoln was their man, and he was starting to change things way back then, and everybody deifies this guy, but he was a scoundrel. He was a total scoundrel. I mean, buying property in Council Bluffs right before the railroad came through, and he was the chief lawyer to the railroads. Come on, railroads weren't corrupt back then. No. Admiral Harriman's were coming out of that. No. So, the whole system that we live under right now is like a matrix of lies, and it's basically just the original lie started, well, centuries ago. Oh, sorry about that, but it's thank you so much for the great show today.
Thank you, and thank you for your call, Dean. All right, we'll be back. We'll be right back with the final segment.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And we're back. Final segment, folks. The alternative media. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Paul Edward Stevenson. Next, we have Fred in Michigan. You're on the air.
Okay, 9/11, there were no planes. Those were 3D holographic images. John Lear cited, this was in an interview he did with a group from the UK, Project Camelot. I think that was like 2011. And he read directly from the military document, 220 pages, in which it described a remote airborne 3D hologram projection system that functional from like 100 miles away, 50-100 miles away. I saw also a documentary that featured Major General Albert Stubblebine, Robert Bauman, Ph.D., who was the head of the U.S. Air Force's Advanced Aeronautics Program. These guys are on record declaring what I just said. No planes, and they proved it.
So, but in other words, you believe there were actually buildings there? You believe that the World Trade Center were actually there and fell down?
Hey, I'm sorry, man. Don't interrupt, okay? When you cite...
I am interrupting.
You cite... When you go and you vilify a PhD physicist, I guarantee you, you have never even once opened a frickin' physics textbook, have you? Have you read one frickin' page out of a physics textbook? No.
I minored in physics in college. I certainly did.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you for your call, Fred. Lauren in Ohio, you're on the air.
Hey, okay, so less frustration and more power, guys. If we just go to the Bible, he says, what's money? Land, cattle, gold, silver. He says, be just in your weights and your measures. He says, a workman is worth his hire, and if a man doesn't work, nor shall he eat. Right there is how everything works. You actually have to produce something, and you have to value real things as value. Maybe labor money, labor bucks, and our treasury printing our own money at no interest. That's how we get out of this. Stop putting your children in these schools to be lied to. And we wouldn't have the problem of people believing COVID and global warming and, you know, all this crap. We're doing it to ourselves. And the quickest way out of it is just to turn back to the truth right now. You see what I mean? In everything that you do, if you're not touching the root of it, then don't respond to it. And stop responding to what they put on that television. Don't, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you're black, don't you care? Nope. I care about Joe Biden. I care about treason. I care about Hunter Biden, perversion. I care about Chris Ray, who won't prosecute anything. See what I mean? In the end, it comes down to we have to care about the truth. We have to have that be our sport. No more stupid sports. No more of this stupid crap. Make politics, not politics, but make truth your sport, and then take it to their home. You know, get up in Maxine Waters' face. You know what I'm saying? Call up your congressmen, your senators with what's actually going on. Like Fauci. I've been talking about Fauci and what's been happening here since January of last year. If we put it in their faces, heat it up underneath them, they're scared. They're blackmailed. But they need to be more afraid of us, knowing what's going on. And then stop giving them your money. Don't pay taxes you don't owe. HisAdvocates.org, HisAdvocates.tv. Check it out. Stop giving them access to your children, DeliberateDumbingDown.com. Stop giving them your attention, and that's how we beat them.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, Lauren. All right, well, thank you, gentlemen, Patrick, Mike, Paul, for being here.
Thank you for having me, Richard.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, see you later, guys.
All right, folks. Please support RBN, and we will speak again soon. Cheers.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.